morning. It's Thursday, September the 1st, and you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm joined in the studio by my lovely wife, Debbie.
September, I'm so excited. In my heart, it's fall.
Yeah, Debbie loves the fall.
My favorite.
She's ready for summer to be over, and it seems like summer is shorter. You know, it goes through July, and then everybody starts back to school, at least in Texas. We start back in Texarkana area in Arkansas, and we start back early August, so the summer seems over, and we've already...
Except for the heat.
Well, that's true, but it's been cooler in August. So anyway, we hope that you're having a good morning. Yesterday, we began a couple of messages that we're doing today on the radio, yesterday and today, on the book of Habakkuk, that little three-chapter book tucked away in the back of the Old Testament. It's a minor prophet. Habakkuk was a minor prophet, but he had a major message. And Debbie had done this study with the ladies in our church just a couple of weeks ago, a four-week series entitled Even If. And here's the question. Hey, even if everything goes wrong in your life, even if everything falls apart, even if things don't turn out the way you want them to turn out, will you keep seeking God? Will you keep loving God? Will you keep praising God? Will you keep walking with God and serving God? Now, Habakkuk, just a quick outline of the book. He said in chapter 1, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, you confuse me. And then in chapter 2, he said, Lord, I wait for you. And then in chapter 3, he said, Lord, I praise you. And Debbie, how did you word that?
I worded it in such a way that he wrestled. He started out wrestling with God. And from that wrestling with God, in terms of just having those doubts and things, he went to waiting and watching to see what the Lord would do, patiently doing those things. And then he went to worship. Once he had that time of waiting and watching and had that communion with the Lord, then it turned into a worship time for him.
Right.
And so that last chapter of Habakkuk is really a psalm that
right.
he wrote.
And, you know, there are two passages in Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous shall live by faith. And then the end of the book, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, that are so powerful. Now, what we said yesterday, what we love about Habakkuk is he brings his questions to the Lord, and he begins the book with, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? He is having a difficult time trying to figure out why God is not working in their situation. Remember, the northern kingdom, Israel, Samaria, all the same place. The northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, they got wiped out by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And now we're looking at right before 605 BC, because the southern kingdom, Judah, the kingdom of Judah, which is, with its capital city in Jerusalem, made up of two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that was the lineage of David, is there. But now they're getting ready to get wiped out because of their rebellion and their sin. And the year is probably, when Habakkuk wrote this, it's probably between 609 and 605 BC, because we know that Babylon came in 605 BC and subjugated Judah and took back captives, 10,000 captives back to Babylon. The most notable ones were Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. And then he came back in 597 because they rebelled against him, took back more captives, slapped them around a little bit. And then he comes in and in 586 BC, and he wipes them out. He destroys the temple, Solomon's beautiful temple. He tears down the wall. He just levels the city. If you want to know how bad it is, read Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations. He shares in detail how awful it was when the city of God was destroyed. So Habakkuk's living on the cusp of that. So we'll say 609 BC, and God shows him this is what's coming down the pike. And Debbie, he doesn't understand how God can use Babylon, a pagan, wicked, violent nation. How can you use them to discipline us?
Your own people.
When they're worse than us.
Right.
But judgment begins at the house of God. And those of us who know the Lord and are called by his name are called to a higher standard. And we need to, as we said yesterday, hey, if this country in which we live is going to be turned around and saved, then it's God's people that need to get right, because judgment begins at the house of God. If we're living in sin and hypocritical existence, then don't be surprised that everything falls apart, because if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So Debbie, as we started in chapter 2 is waiting on God.
That's right.
Okay, and what do we learn in chapter 2 of Habakkuk?
Well, he starts going into these five woes that are just going to explain to Habakkuk how this judgment is going to come about, what this judgment is going to look like, and why the judgment is taking place. What are the issues that are causing the judgment to happen? And Habakkuk realizes that although the Babylonians are this horrible group of people, Judah is not without fault. They have their own issues as well. And so he kind of sees that as it progresses. And when the Lord starts telling him these five woes, it really spoke to us as we went through the study about how relevant these five woes are to our nation and our world today. Because the first one he talked about was selfish ambition, that the Babylonians were very ambitious and selfish in that. And we look around at our world and we most assuredly see that. And, you know, ambition is a good thing. I mean, it's not always a bad thing. It's a strong desire to achieve something. It's being determined to reach a goal that you have in your life. And so often God places those desires and those ambitions in our heart. And the Bible even tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that, hey, whether we're at home or away, we're supposed to make it our ambition or our aim to please the Lord. So ambition in and of itself is not a bad thing. But these people had been so consumed by it in terms of just greediness and other things.
It was selfish.
Selfish. It was very, very selfish. And he sees that and he looks around and he sees, man, you know, this is a horrible, horrible situation. And then he starts talking about just their covetousness, because they were desiring more and more to conquer and more lands to conquer. And it just went on and on. And how they just obtained their wealth in bad ways, in ways that weren't honoring and pleasing to the Lord. And I think, again, just the parallels with our culture today is overwhelming.
Well, there's a little phrase that said this kind of affects and infects America. We get all you can all you get, sit on the can and poison the rest. That's kind of how we are. You know, I want to be king of the mountain, and you're not going to get what I have, and I'm going to get what you have. And the Bible says in James 3:16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. So he starts off the first woe with selfish ambition, mm-hmm. A bad thing. That's going to bring the judgment of God. What's the second woe?
The second one is about the covetousness, where he says, woe to him who dishonestly makes wealth for his house, to place his nest on high, to escape from the reaches of disaster, that he's sinning against his own self in verse 10. And, you know, wealth, again, in and of itself, wealth is not a bad thing. I mean, and there's really only three ways that you can get wealth. You either work for it, you receive it as a gift, or you steal it. Okay, one of those three ways is how you're going to obtain it. And they were not necessarily working for it. They were coming in and they were ravaging the places that they conquered, and they were stealing it. And so it was dishonoring. And these verses are just continuing to remind him that, listen, they are not going to get away with this indefinitely.
Right.
That's the big aha moment for him. It's like, okay, God's allowing this now because he's working out his purposes in all of this.
Right.
But this is not a forever situation.
Yeah, I think people struggle with that when they see wicked people using,
prospering.
Yeah, using violence and lies and obvious things that are against God and getting ahead, and it doesn't compute to us. We see the things going on in our government and we just say, wait, this is a gross double standard. This is punishing the righteous and rewarding the wicked. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And we really have trouble with, why does God allow this to continue? And I guess God doesn't care. That's the wrong conclusion. Mm-hmm. God does care, and he will bring he's going to bring judgment at the proper time.
I think about that even with the abortion issue. I mean, that is so abhorrent to God. Yet it has been allowed to go on, and they have profited so much in that industry. But that judgment, the judgment is coming on that.
Mm-hmm.
It is coming. And we were watching something just the other day, and I believe it was Rob Reiner that was saying how they were talking about the fact that pro-life people are these radical, mm-hmm. Right-wing.
They hate women.
They hate women, all of this. And he made the statement that does not represent our country. The bulk of the people in our country are pro-choice. And I remember I said to you, I completely disagree with that,
mm-hmm.
because I think the bulk of our country is pro-life.
Well, I think he was saying the bulk of our country, they don't believe that you should punish women, I like what Bill Maher, because he was on Bill Maher's program.
Right.
Bill Maher is, not a friend of Christians, but he seems to be fair-minded on a lot of things. And he said, listen, it's wrong to say they hate women. They see abortion as murder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're motivated to do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that. He doesn't
right.
agree with it, but he understands it. And I appreciate the fact that he would be honest enough to say, oh, that's why Christians do what they do. If you think it's murder, you're going to try and do anything you can to stop it.
Right.
But God does judge.
Right.
Here's a verse in Ecclesiastes that's important to remember. Because it's Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, the hearts of the sons of men are given fully to do evil. I'm quoting this from memory, so stumbled a little bit. But the hearts of the sons of men are given fully to do evil. Because it's not, bam, just immediate. You did this, here is, here's the kickback. God waits. God is patient. And God, I shared this last night in my sermon on Genesis chapter 6 about the flood, where God wipes out the whole world. People don't like the judgment of God, and they say, how dare God do that? If you were God, if I were God, we would have wiped people out, in Genesis 3.
Right.
We would have said, Adam and Eve, you're done.
Yeah, look at all I've done for you, and look what you did with it.
God is so patient, and God does not want to judge. It says in Ezekiel 18, 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. And so God is slow to judge because he wants people to respond to him. And he gave the Babylonians, he gave them time. Now, he's going to use the wicked Babylonians for his purposes, just like he uses the devil for his purposes. God is in control of all things. Hey, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground unless God says that's okay to do it. He is in charge, and we can trust him. So even if, the book of Habakkuk teaches us, even if everything falls apart, let's continue to trust God, love God, serve God, praise God, because he's worthy, worthy, worthy. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. My wife, Debbie, and I are talking about this little book called Habakkuk. It has so much truth for us today, so much encouragement for us today. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
There's a culture war raging in America, and like it or not, we're in the battle. Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. And by God's grace, we're making a difference. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity will benefit you and help ensure AFA is in the fight for years to come.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. It's really frustrating to deal with out-of-pocket medical expenses, just watching your hard-earned dollars flying out the window. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare is a new option. It's called MediShare 65 Plus. And MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. It really is a community, too. People encourage and pray for each other. MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation, too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years, and you can use your Medicare-approved doctor, and you also get telehealth 24/7 service, so you don't have to leave your home for the little stuff. Very worth looking into, and it's so easy to find out why people rave about the customer service at MediShare. They're easy to talk to. Call 833-45 Bible. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. My wife, Debbie, and I are talking about the book of Habakkuk, that little book in the back of the Old Testament, the book that tells us, hey, even if everything falls apart in your life, you need to keep looking to God, trusting God, serving God, loving God, because God is in charge and God is good and God works all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. So, Debbie, the five woes in chapter 2.
Okay, it's interesting. I was just thinking about this. The five woes, we've talked about selfish ambition, covetousness. The other three are exploitation of people, drunkenness and violence, and idolatry. But it's what's interesting is that in the middle of those woes, in that third woe, he talks about an interesting verse, and it's in verse 14, and it says, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord's glory. So in the middle of those woes, he's reminding Habakkuk that there's coming a day mm-hmm. when the scale is going to be balanced mm-hmm. and the whole earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of God's glory. And it just reminded me about the verse in Philippians where it says, for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the entire earth, everyone is going to recognize that. And as these five woes are revealed to Habakkuk, and he sees all that is going to be taking place, that it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better, you would think he would be discouraged by that, but he's not. He's not. It draws his heart and his mind to the greatness of God and to his attributes. And so as we move into that third chapter, his Habakkuk circumstances haven't changed at all. In fact, he recognizes, hey, my circumstances are going to get worse than they are right now. Okay, yes. This is a good day compared to what future days are going to look like. Right. He recognizes that. So the circumstances haven't changed, but he's changed.
Right.
His heart has changed. His eyes and what he's seeing have been open and see that God is at work. And I think that's such an important and valuable word for us today, is that it all goes back to heart change. And when we enable him to change our heart, we see things differently.
Right.
And I think that's just a real important lesson for us.
Well, perspective is huge. And so, you know, if you look around, you're going to be distressed. If you look within, you're going to be depressed. But if you look above, if you look to the Lord, you'll be blessed. And so his perspective in chapter one is horizontal. God, I don't understand what I'm seeing here as I look around and see you bless the wicked and persecute the righteous, so to speak. And then when he gets a vertical perspective, everything changes. He gets his eyes on the Lord.
Right. And as he deepens that relationship with the Lord, it changes him so much. And I was thinking about that because getting to know God in a really deep way like that often isn't an enjoyable journey. God often takes us through trials and difficulties and hard times, because that's when he is drawing near to us, and that's when we're relying on him so much. And I think back just to different times in our lives, Jeff, when we have walked through difficult paths, and it's in those times that we leaned into each other, we leaned into the Lord, and that's where our faith really grew. Mm-hmm. And so often you see people of strong faith and you think, oh, you know, their life is so great. You know, they're so strong. They have such courage. They have such conviction. They have such passion. It's like, okay, well, how did they get that? Mm-hmm. They probably got that because they walked through some trials and they walked through some hard times. That's not just an easy microwave meal, right? It's difficult.
So Johnny Erickson Tada, who was on the program just a week or so ago, she's one of my heroes in the faith. Well, she's been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember something Dick Gouch said in a testimony on Focus on the Family years and years and years ago. He said, everyone wants the diploma that they graduated from the school of faith, but they don't want to go to class.
Right.
And how do you get strong faith? You go through strong storms. You
exactly.
go through big difficulties. Well, Debbie, we want to focus the key passage in Habakkuk, his psalm. He says this as he closes out the book, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls. And this is an agrarian society. This is, we got nothing. The economy is zero. We lose everything. What happens? Even if that happens, he says in verse 18, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. He's going to praise the Lord even if everything falls apart. And it's a choice of the will. Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Because it's a choice of the will, anyone can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he was, well, Habakkuk is a prophet, he's a super saint, that's why he can do it. No, he just makes a choice of his will and says, hey, by the choice of my will, I'm choosing to do this. I'm choosing to look to the Lord. I'm choosing to trust Him. I'm choosing to believe Him.
Well, I think another important thing that Habakkuk does, just like is very common in most of the Hebrew Psalms, is that he starts this with a backward look, where he looks back and he recalls and remembers the things that God has done in the past. So he starts out that verse 3 with, God comes down from Timnah, the Holy One from Mount Paran. And he kind of reminds himself of some things that God has done historically in the past. And I think that's such a good word for us today, because when we look around at the future and the future seems uncertain, we can look back at the past and say, okay, but at that time there, that future seemed uncertain too, but God was faithful.
Right.
God was faithful to me in that. He came through. He kept His word. He kept His promise. He was unwavering. And that's an important thing in your own heart and life, to have those anchor moments with the Lord historically, that you can go back and you can recall, right, not just what He's done for humanity in general, although that is a good thing to recall, but what He has done personally in your life and in your heart,
right,
to keep a record of those and to keep going back to that.
Well, you know, it's easy, especially when reading through the Old Testament, reading through the New Testament, you see these guys don't handle things well. The disciples on the stormy sea when Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they cry out, Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? We're going down, Jesus. We thought we should wake you up to let you know we're going to die. Well, we read that story. We know that what He does, and He calms the sea, and we think, I say with Jesus, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? Well, they're experiencing that in real time.
Right.
We read everything and we see, the parting of the Red Sea. Hey, you guys don't need to be afraid. He's going to part the Red Sea. But they don't know that.
Right.
And in our lives, so we live it in real time. And we don't see what's going to happen tomorrow. All we have is today. And all we can do is fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And we just, Debbie, I think you mentioned yesterday about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace, and He will deliver us. But even if He doesn't deliver us, we're still going to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've been calling this 2-day study on Habakkuk. Even if God chooses to do something else, we're still going to praise Him. Even if we lose everything, we're still going to praise Him. Even if our country goes down the tubes, we're still going to praise Him. But we're not going to let the country go down the tubes without seeking the Lord, without standing up for truth, without being a faithful watchman on the wall. We're going to do the things that He calls us to do. We don't just throw up our hands and say, well, it's over. When they cried out to Moses, cried out to the Lord at the Red Sea, the Lord says, why are you crying out to me? Go forward. So, well, Lord, there's a sea there. How can I go forward? I'll part the waters. You trust me. You go forward.
Well, I think, too, I loved the verse where he talked about that he will make my feet like those of a deer. And I had researched that a little bit, and really this particular kind of deer, or hind, H-I-N-D, that he was talking about was like a gazelle. It was a graceful, sure-footed animal that could climb up really high on the rocky cliffs. They didn't stumble, they didn't fall, because they put their back feet in exactly the same place that their front feet were. So they didn't run on fours so much as they ran in sets of twos, mm-hmm, 2 feet. And because of that, they could scale the heights. And
yeah, you watch those deer videos.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and they don't stumble.
They do not stumble, and they go so fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go so fast up the mountain. And, God wants us on the heights.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us on the heights with Him. That's what He designed us for. And so as we're walking through our journey in life, and we're in our struggles, it may not be that joy can be found necessarily in our situation, but joy can always be found in the Lord.
right.
can always be found in the Lord. And I found this quote as I was studying for this, and it says this: we do not rejoice because of our situations. We do not rejoice because of success or achievements. We do not rejoice because trouble never came. We do rejoice because when the fire came, He was with us every step of the way. We rejoice because of who God is.
Amen. Well, I still think about something I learned in seminary from my preaching professor, Dr. Wayne McDill, and we went through his book to learn how to prepare sermons, and he, toward the end of the class, and it's the focus of every sermon, he said, preach for faith. You don't preach do better sermons. You think about how often do you hear sermons that are do better? Well, if you would just do better, if you would just pray more, if you would just read the Bible more, if you would just witness more, if you would just go to church more, do better. You're not doing well enough. He said that doesn't help anybody. That's all just beating your flesh to get your flesh to do.
He
said,
works.
Preach for faith.
Yeah.
Get people to get their eyes off their problems and on to the Lord. Get them to trust God. What did we say yesterday? The whole Bible can be kind of shrunk down as God just saying two words to us. Trust me. Trust me. Trust my Son, what He did for you on the cross. Trust me every day to live through you as you live a yielded life. Just trust me. Because if we don't trust God, then we're trusting in ourselves. And you're going to fail you. I'm going to fail me. We don't have what it takes. He is the only one. I love what Adrian Rogers used to say. The Christian life is not hard. It's impossible.
Oh, for sure.
There's only one that can live it. And His name is Jesus. And He wants to live it through you. And no matter what you're going through in life, no matter how bad it may be, He's able to give you peace and joy and patience and power to rise above. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me doesn't mean that you can kick a 60-yard field goal. It means in any situation that you find yourself, you can have peace and joy and power because the Lord will empower you.
Well, and I think that goes back to, you know, at the first of the book, Habakkuk is kind of like, well, what if these things happen? Well, Lord, where are you? And by the end of the book, he's saying, okay, wait a minute. Even if these things happen, okay, even if they do, even if all of this horrible things, if they take place, and they're probably going to be worse than even what I'm hearing, I'm going to still trust. And I think back to something that we heard, and I can't remember who we heard this from, but that there are two types of people: the why me people and the why not me people. Do you remember hearing that from somebody? Like, why did this happen to me? And then the other type of personality is like, well, why not me? I mean, why wouldn't this happen to me? Why am I so special that something bad wouldn't come into my path?
Yeah, I remember saying that to somebody that was mad at God because they had a bad back. Why is this happening to me? And I said, well, why not you?
Right.
I mean, what do you think, that you're immune to this? You know, and we can fall into that trap where it's like,
easily,
you know, and that's a works trap. Well, Lord, I've done this and I've done that and I've done the other and I haven't had my quiet time every day for the last 60 days and I'm giving and I'm going to church. I haven't missed a Sunday school class. So you owe me. You know, that's the elder brother syndrome in the prodigal son. I've done all these things for you. Where's my party? Why would you give
right.
a party to the scumbag brother? God doesn't owe us anything. And we don't. We serve God because we love God. That's the ultimate motivation. We're not trying to get things from God. We're saying with Job, you know, the question from Satan to God, does Job serve God for nothing? And the answer in the book of Job is Job served God for nothing. He served God because he loved God, mm-hmm. not because he can get from God. That's a deep question for all of us to answer. Am I serving God because I love him? That's the greatest commandment. Or am I serving him because I want to get something from him?
And one of the verses that we closed out our study with was 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Well, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Even if everything falls apart, will you still trust God? You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm joined by the one and only Debbie Shreve.
Oh, dear.
And we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it, and we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Debbie and I are talking about the book of Habakkuk. Even if everything falls apart in life, will you still trust God, love God, serve God, seek God, and wait for the Lord to do? As we have said before, it's difficult to wait on the Lord, but we have to do it. Well, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. Listen, if you have a testimony to share about the bottom dropped out in my life, and even though I had to work through all the frustration, the anger, the bitterness, I trusted God. I looked to God, and He brought me through. If you have a testimony like that to share, we'd love to hear it. If you have a question about, well, how do I do this, we'd love to help you with that. Debbie, I had mentioned in chapter 3, verse 18, where he says, verse 17, everything falls apart. There's nothing. A fig tree doesn't blossom. No fruit on the vines. No olives. The fields produce no food, and the flock is cut off from the fold, and there's no cattle. I mean, everything is just zero. My portfolio is bankrupt. yet I will exult in the Lord. And that's this personal name of God, L-O-R-D in the New American Standards, all in caps, which means that's Yahweh. I will exult in Yahweh. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, the God who saved me. And it's personal. And so Habakkuk's not talking about the God of salvation, the God of my salvation. Now that brings us back to a personal relationship with the Lord. Can you pray and can you praise the God of my salvation? The Lord, for every Christian, we can go back to our salvation experience and we know this is when I came to know Jesus. This is when I surrendered my life to Him. This is when He saved me. And He didn't save me and leave me. He promises He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And so He is the God of my salvation.
Well, and He is not going to abandon what He saved.
Right.
Right. And so that was very, very encouraging. And then He goes on to say, and Yahweh, my Lord, is my strength. So my strength is not in my ability. It's not in my skill set. It's not in my circumstances. It's not in my wealth. It's not in my health. It's in none of those things. My strength is from the Lord. It's constant. It's sure. It's unchanging.
Well, the Babylonians, very interesting in Habakkuk chapter 1, it says that their strength was their God. Hey, we're strong, we're big, we're bad. That was their God. That's what they trusted in. Our God is our strength. We trust in Him. And here's the tremendous paradox. As Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because when I'm weak, then I'm depending upon God. When I'm weak, then I'm trusting His grace. When I'm strong, then I have a tendency, for all of us, we have a tendency to trust in ourselves. When the bank account is full, when your health is 100%, you have a tendency. Doesn't mean you're going to do this, but you have a tendency to trust in yourself. But when there's the fig tree doesn't blossom, when the bank account is zero, when you're sick and when you're weak and feeble, that's when you need the Lord tremendously and desperately. That's when you call upon the Lord. That's when you say, Lord, I can't do this, and I need You to do it for me and through me. And God says, well, that's good, because that's what I want You to do. The best ability is just simple availability.
Well, and I read this great quote by G. Campbell Morgan that said this: our joy is in proportion to our trust, and our trust is in proportion to our knowledge of God. So the more we know the Lord, the deeper our walk and our relationship grows with Him, the more our trust grows, because we see Him as who He is, who is completely worthy of our trust. And it's in that level of trust that we can have joy in all of our circumstances, because we recognize that He's the source of that joy. The circumstances aren't the source. He's the source of that joy.
Well, and the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you're never going to build strong faith unless you spend time in the Word. And the Word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we spend time in the Word and time with the Lord, we're not trying to just learn a bunch of things for a test. So if I'm on Jeopardy and the category is Old Testament, I can get those right. We're spending time with the Lord saying, Lord, build my faith. Lord, increase my faith, as the disciples said. And Jesus said, hey, if you had faith like a mustard seed, that's all you need. But here's the thing about a mustard seed. A mustard seed is small. It starts out small, but it grows. And so we need to be growing in our faith. And Debbie, as you said earlier, we remember what God has done in our lives. We remember what He's done in the Scripture. God has a track record of victory after victory after victory after victory. But we remember how He's brought us through difficulties. And that's why it's important to keep a journal of things. Hey, what did I do here? I was facing a Red Sea experience in my life, and this is how God showed up, and this is how God responded. And I was in this storm, and the Lord didn't calm the storm, but He calmed me. And I had peace and joy in the midst of the storm.
Right.
And that is huge, because that helps you to remember. When you remember, the God who has done these things is the God who will do these things in the future, and I don't need to be afraid.
Well, one of the things that Habakkuk learned in the midst of all of this, which is such a great walk away for us today, is that as he looked around and saw the situation, knowing that things were going to get worse before they got better, he worshiped the Lord anyway, regardless of how he felt, regardless of what he saw coming down the pike. He just worshiped the Lord. And I think for us so often, as we look to this tumultuous landscape of our future in the United States right now and in our world, man, if we get our eyes off of the Lord, we are certainly not going to be worshiping. We're going to be consumed with fear, with worry, with angst. And it's important to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Right.
Because he's the source of our salvation. He's the source of our hope. He's the source of our strength. And to make the choice, just like Habakkuk did, that we will worship. We will do that. We will stay true. We will stay firm. We will choose to do that as an act of our will. No matter how we feel, no matter what we do, because our feelings will catch up with that.
Right.
I mean, have we not learned that in various times in our lives? Like, okay, when it comes to forgiving someone, hey, is as an act of obedience, you forgive because the Lord commands you to do that. Over the course of time, as you walk that out, the Lord catches your feelings up with that decision you made.
Yeah, we walk by faith, not by feelings.
Right.
And so, and faith is a choice of the will. And faith says, I'm going to believe God. And, you know, by an act of the will. So go back to Habakkuk. Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. You know, I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Remember, the God who has delivered is the God who can deliver, is the God who will deliver, regardless of what you're going through. The Apostle Paul got his head cut off, and he said in the last chapter of 2 Timothy, the last chapter he ever wrote, chapter 4, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. You say, well, Paul, you got your head cut off. Yeah, and the Lord took me to heaven. He delivered me from every evil deed. That's the testimony of every true Christian. God will deliver us. He may not do it the way we want him to.
Or on this earth.
Right. So we pray for somebody that's sick, that has cancer. Lord, heal them. Well, the Lord is going to heal them, but he may not do it in the way you're praying for in this life. He may do it in the next. Yeah, I did heal them. There's nobody in heaven that has cancer.
Right.
Nobody in heaven that's suffering with some kind of disease. And so God brings his children safely home. And so we just trust him. He who has delivered, he will deliver. He will yet deliver. And so I look to the Lord. And you know, Habakkuk had to wait.
Right.
So if indeed the date of the book is 609 BC, well, Nebuchadnezzar's coming in 605. And so he's just waiting. He knows what's going to happen. You know, we don't know the timeline of things. And he didn't know the time. He didn't know Nebuchadnezzar's coming in 605. He just knew he's coming in.
Right.
Listen, we know by reading the book of the Revelation, by knowing what Jesus has told us, we know that the world is set for tribulation. It's set for the Antichrist. I believe that the rapture is going to come before that to take God's people home. But we know that things aren't going to get better and better and better till the Lord's return. They're going to get worse and worse and worse.
Well, as we wait, and I don't know many people who just love to wait. I don't know many people like that. I think as a rule, we struggle in this area of waiting. And I ran across in one of my commentaries that I was reading three verses to kind of help you when you're waiting. And we may have some listeners out there today that there's some situation in your life that you have just been in a holding pattern. You've just been in neutral, waiting on the Lord to move. And so how do you continue to do that? How do you continue to encourage yourself in the Lord in this waiting time? And the first one was that we need to stand still. And that was based on Exodus 14:13. But Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid, stand still and see the Lord's salvation that he will provide for you today." So to end that waiting, to encourage yourself to stand still, then to encourage yourself to be still, to just be still. And that came from a verse in Ruth chapter 3 verse 18, where Naomi said to Ruth, "Be still, my daughter, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out." So we can be still, we sit still, and then we also stand still. And those are important things. So in every situation, we can be still and wait for the Lord, whether it be we're standing, whether it be we're moving, whatever it is, we can ask the Lord to enable us to stand firm and to not waver in unbelief and in doubt, and to encourage our hearts and to just know that, hey, he is going to come through. He is going to come through for us because he is completely faithful.
Well, one of the most famous verses on be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46, verse 10, that's King James. New American Standard, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. That means to let go and relax. Mm-hmm. Just chill out. Mm-hmm. Trust God. Don't be afraid thinking that you have to fix it, that it's all dependent on you. It's not. Cease striving, let go, relax, and know that I am God, and I am able. You're not. What's my name? My name is I Am. I am the great I Am. I am able. Well, we have Dusty on the line from Texas. Dusty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, I want to thank you very much for taking this call. Me and my wife, we pray for you and Miss Debbie all the time, and we enjoy your teachings. We do get guidance from it. Two things that do come to mind is the book of Habakkuk that you're talking about, and also Job, and they are definitely reminders of the trials that we do go through. We can come out at the other side because he has brought us through many, many trials in our lives itself. And one of the things I do remember is Casting Crowns comes out with a song called Praise You in the Storm. And I definitely have to praise God in the storm, along with the times that I'm on top of the valley. I truly appreciate y'all, and I encourage all others to go to your prayer closet, because he does give us the ability where he says, if you pray in secret, I will open you, reward you openly. And I appreciate that also. Thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thanks, Dusty. I appreciate you and your sweet wife. I appreciate you calling in and for that encouragement. And so as we get ready to close out today, just listen to the words again from Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. The Lord has high places for you as you trust him. As you go through the dark valley, we walk through it. We don't live in it. We walk through it to get to the other side with Jesus. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my wife, Debbie. We pray that you would have a great day. Shine for Christ and share what great things he's done for you, and trust him no matter what. We'll see you next time. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.